The word of the living God. Ezekiel chapter 24, 19 to 21. And the people said unto me, Wilt thou not tell us what these things are to us that thou dost so? Then I answered them, The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Speak unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the excellency of your strength, the desire of your eyes, and that which your soul pitieth, and your sons and your daughters whom ye have left shall fall for the sword. And ye shall do as I have done. Ye shall not cover your lips, nor eat the bread of men. And your tires shall be upon your heads, and your shoes upon your feet. Ye shall not mourn nor weep, but ye shall pine away for your iniquities and mourn one towards another. God will bless the reading of his word. The eternal truth in the Bible is the truth that shall stand forevermore. The God who is himself eternal truth. Remember, Christ said, I am the truth. That declaration is a declaration of eternal, unchanging truth. And God calls us to listen and take heed to what he has got to say. The great preachers of God's holy word pour out God's truth and message, and of those who speak that message reiterate eternal truth in the text that they use. By God's help, I want to preach on such a subject today, to your hearts and to your souls and to your inmost being. The judgment day is on its way. Let me repeat that. The judgment day is on its way. Remember, the rebuilding of the city of God is urgent. In this chapter of God's word from which I have just read, the plans of God are revealed. And as we read this book of Ezekiel and see the judgments of God, we tremble. But at the end of the catalogue of the judgments of God to come, there is a bright shining light, the shining of restoration and of a new city of God, and of a new dispensation. in the heart and mind of God, revealed in final glory by the God of heaven, who thought it and planned it and will finally deliver it. The judgment day is on its way. Remember the rebuilding of the old city was urgent. And in this chapter, the plans of God are revealed. The city will be built, and the Lord will work, and without a doubt, the city of God will hold the final meeting, the eternal meeting of the blood-washed saints of the everlasting God. When God gathers the last of his elect to his house. The eternal truth in the Bible is tied up in eternity with the unbreakable will of God himself. These glories of heaven are the undeserved gift of he who is grace indeed. The great expositors of the eternal reward as spoken of by Ezekiel speak of three eternal gifts. There, these gifts are written up for us and put on record for us. The exposition of Ezekiel in revealing and giving these three eternal truths is staggering. Christ is still the resurrection and the life. And as we go on through this word, we will find that only to be too true. Let me say, this verse that I'm speaking on is, of course, sounding the day of judgment, which precedes the day of final glory. And the dead will be raised, and they will all be judged. Every one of them. Christ Jesus is still and shall forever be the resurrection and the life. The testimony of newborn souls continues to take place, and the power of the Savior's precious, incorruptible blood shall never, never lose its power. Hallelujah. The world by wisdom knows not God, but it has pleased the Almighty Trinity through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And into this world has come the third person of the unchangeable Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. And he works almighty resurrection in the hearts of lost souls in this world. Without the Holy Spirit, we are powerless. but with the Holy Spirit we are mighty, yea, even almighty, to empty the sin's tombs and to bring men to the peace of heaven and the rewards of an eternity stamped with the blood of redemption. The vilest offenders who truly believe that moment from Jesus the pardon receives. I was reading the other day an old time sermon of the great C.H. Spurgeon. And this is what he said. We cannot sit still. We do not believe that it was God's intent that any truth should ever lead us into sloth. At any rate, it was not so led by us. It has carried us on in the very opposite direction. We must be busy for God. Let us try to be as practical as we can, to retain the time because the days are evil, to put the material things on the cross, and to draw down the rule that is the rule of the Spirit of God, creating the wings of revival blessing. A whole parliament of philosophers could not cause a cupful of the wind of the gospel to blow. The sailor knows that he can neither stop the tempest nor can he raise it. What then? Does he sit still? By no means. He has all kinds of seals of different cuts and forms, and they enable him not to make the wind of God, but to carry it and to use every ounce of that wind that it comes bearing the great tidings of great joy. And as God sends his almighty breath, so sinners stricken by the Spirit's conviction cry out for salvation. And there is a psalm in heaven, and there is rejoicing in the heart of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But there is also a joy on earth as the redeemed of the Lord rejoice in the fact that Christ has moved amongst us, and that the wind bloweth where it listeth, though we hearest not its sound. And when that wind blows, there is power. And where that wind blows, there is revival blessing. O wind of God, come sweeping through us, revive the church with grace and fire. Brethren and sisters, we need to pray. We need to pray more. We need to pray much. We need to pray without ceasing. And then we must preach more, testify more, pray more, anointed to be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. We must hand ourselves over into the hand of the God of heaven. We must depend not upon our ability, not upon anything in our past, but we must, by the grace of God, depend only on the power of God. For it's God's power that we need, not the power of scholarship, not the power of eloquence, but the power of the Holy Ghost and fire. We must believe the promise. We must rejoice in knowing that we shall return victoriously, bringing our sheaves with us. It is not by might, it is not by power, it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We must pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. All the gospel preachers need to be anointed. We need to cry continually for that anointing. We need to preach as we preach. There must be an urge within our soul. Send the fire. Send the fire. Send the fire. Oh, see us on the altar lay. Our lives are all this very day to crown the offering. Oh my God, send the fire. We must cease from deadness and come to life. We must cease from darkness and stand into the light. We must be ever before the altar, and day and night we must cry louder and louder for a revival of the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, see us on the altar lay. Our lives are all this very day to crown the offering. Now we pray, send the fire. Oh, may God come, and may the words of our lips be caught up to meet the Lord, and may God answer our prayers with all the strength of holy omnipotence, so that there will burn again upon this sin-cursed earth a great movement of revival blessing, and many and many and many shall be the slain of the Lord. This will not be done if our hearts are dirty, if our mind is unclean, if our ways are not holy. But if we surrender ourselves and fit the vessels of our body for the work that God wants to do with us, then there shall be showers of blessing. This is the purpose of God. There shall be seasons of blessing in the work of God. We must set God's word and God's work first and foremost in obedience within us. We must long for a visitation of the Spirit. We must cry to God and never faint, but continue to cry until we hear the sound of coming rain of blessing. But that sound must be changed into clouds, and those clouds must be changed into a great tempest, and we need another wonderful Holy Ghost movement and cry, send the fire, send the fire. Oh, see us on the altar lay. Our lives are all this very day. To crown the offering, now I pray, send the fire. I call you to trust in God alone. Let all the glory be to God, that all the humbleness be in our hearts. We need to be kept kneeling before God's holy throne. We need to be taught by the eternal Spirit the ways of the Lord. We need to train the converts in the Bible way, for in the keeping of God's way, there is great reward. May God help us to do that. I turn again to some words that the great C.H. Spurgeon uttered from the pulpit. He said to his congregation of 10,000 people, be willing to have the Holy Spirit as he wills to come. Let him come as a north wind, cold and cutting. Or let him come as a south wind, sweet and melting. Say, come from any of the four points of the four winds of heaven, O breath, only come. Come now, come gloriously, come eternally. He can come unexpectedly upon us sitting in the pew during 5 minutes that may remain of a Christian service. You are perhaps thinking about whether you can catch an early train and get home. May the Holy Spirit lay hold of you today before you leave the building and get you home in real earnest before your God and your Father. He can come mightily. He can come almightly. There is a great deal about you that should shut him not out, but welcome him in. But it is hard to keep wind out when it blows in the fullness of strength. You may all fill up the crevices of the door as you please, but the wind can still get in. It can seek every point where it can storm the building and blow its power upon the sons of men. Thus too is it with the Spirit of God. He comes in might. He comes sweetly. He comes chasing away fears and bringing in the love of the Spirit. He can charm you to Christ as well as drive you to Christ. May he enter your heart even now, dear sinner. We yearn to see all of you be made alive by the Holy Ghost. I am praying in my very soul that he would come to every one of us. I do not read that Ezekiel saw part of the valley of dry bones lift. He saw all of the valley of dry bones alive. Everyone will line up. Everyone will have his name written and his gift recorded that God has met with this blood-washed soul. I long to see you all, Spurgeon said to his congregation, blessed at the service. Why should it not be so? Oh, that the Spirit of God should come and touch every one of us. Many of you are alive already. Blessed be his name. Many of you are enjoying life indeed. Twice blessed be his name. And some of you have a mighty baptism of power. Blessed be his name. Oh God, help us to pray mightily that every soul here that is dead may feel the sacred breath and begin to live. Then I shall not only bless God for what he has done, but I look forward to great news and the rising of the hallelujah song and chorus from men and women and boys and girls who were headed for hell, but now are marching to heaven, the beautiful city of God. God grant it, said Spurgeon. Amen and amen. We would repeat it. God grant it. Amen and amen. Lifeless in the valley, come, O breath, and breathe. You create and rally. Come, O breath, and breathe. Blowing where thou listest, thou the word assistant, thou death's power resistant. Come, O breath, and breathe upon. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I might love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Amen and amen.